talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. You almost have to laugh when you see this headline. I saw PBS. PBS had a headline. I was, just scanning a bunch of different news sources here this morning and over the weekend. PBS National must have picked up a local Montana PBS story. But here's the headline for you. Montana City grapples with rise of unhoused people living in vehicles. And it's about Bozeman. It's about Bozeman, Montana. City leaders in Bozeman, Montana are dealing with the tensions brought on by this more visible display of homelessness. Why is Bozeman dealing with this? Why is Bozeman grappling with this? How come Belgrade isn't grappling with this? Right? So who was it? I was talking with a lady a few days ago, and Belgrade doesn't have that problem. Belgrade seemed to figure it out. Belgrade seemed to figure out how to address this issue. How come Bozeman hasn't figured out how to address this issue? I don't know if you guys heard this yet, but there is a big case at the United States Supreme Court that deals with it, and it very much could impact Bozeman and Missoula. And the transient crisis, the invasion of transients, and the excuse that they give you when they refuse to deal with the transient invasion. I'll tell you about that here a little later this hour of the show. But yeah, Montana City grapples with rise of unhoused people living in vehicles. So Belgrade is the next exit down on the interstate. But man, it's like an entire country away when it comes to policies and how to deal with problems. Why aren't they grappling with this issue? I don't give the Bozeman Daily Chronicle my money, so I wasn't able to print up the full story from the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. Or wait, or was I? Oh, no, I got it right here. Oh, hey, stand by. I did print this one. Okay. Tried to pull it up again and hit a paywall here. A new reality. People experiencing homelessness in Bozeman deal with new urban camping ordinance. Have you guys read this story? Have you read this thing? What a bunch of garbage. What a bunch of BS. So they finally, what do they tell you? After 30 days, they tell you, yeah, you got to move. You got to move. You've trashed this place long enough. Time to go trash another part of Bozeman. Did you guys know that apparently you are paying for the tow truck? So let's say somebody sets up their transient urban camping thing. They came from Seattle or Portland, and now they want to trash Bozeman. And they set up their little urban camping trailer right here. And then in 30 days, they got to move. But they can't move because it's not on wheels. Did you know that you are paying for them to get towed to another part of town? Yeah, no joke. I'm reading this article, and I'm like, you have got to be freaking kidding me here. You have got to be freaking kidding me. I'm waiting for my free tow. Yeah, I'm going to get out of here. I'm waiting for my free tow. They're going to tow me to another part of town. My goodness. The left-wing nut jobs are in complete control. You wonder why you pay so much in property taxes. There you go.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The U.S. helped shoot down Iranian missiles and drones bound for Israel recently. So does that mean the U.S. is involved in a shooting war with Iran? This comes down to interpretations of war powers and whether the Biden administration needs to seek congressional authorization to justify its actions. Multiple administrations have used the 2001 authorization for use of military force, or AUMF, for 9/11 and the 2002 AUMF for the war in Iraq and 2003 for a variety of additional operations abroad for decades now. The administration can use the War Powers Resolution of 1973 to justify any military action. The administration just needs to report back to Congress what it's doing abroad, sans a declaration of war or an AUMF. Under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, Congress has the power to declare war. But under Article 2, Section 2, the President is Commander-in-Chief. Congress has only declared war 11 times. The last such declaration was in 1942 against Romania. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will range from the mid-50s in Bozeman to about 62 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear and quiet conditions. Low temperatures back in the upper 20s and low 30s. And then the outlook into Tuesday does call for more sunshine as highs reach the lower to middle 60s. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is just crazy. You read this Bozeman Daily Chronicle story. A new reality. People experiencing homelessness in Bozeman deal with new urban camping ordinance. They have 30 days, and even then they can get extensions and ignore it for a while, and you know, the fees aren't that bad. But yeah, no joke. You read this story, and some local residents had called to complain about one of these, transient camps just hanging out there. And apparently whoever was staying in this transient encampment had not used one of the two free tows included in the ordinance. So they asked the city official to coordinate a tow so they could move across town near North 7th Avenue. So you got transients camping out in one area of town. Then you pay so they get the free tow to go then camp out in another part of town. Absolutely insane. Hey, well, let's jump into it. Let's jump into your business news here on this Monday morning. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here every Monday. Evelyn, great to have you on the program. What's the big business news here on this Monday?
Oh, there's quite a few things going on. on the hot sheet this morning, I don't know how much people realize that the local animal shelter is planning a major new facility. And in a really unique collaboration, they are joining with Rocky Vista University here in Billings, who's just become accredited to become a veterinarian college, and they're going to collaborate so that their students can work at this new facility and take care of animals and get hands-on experience while in the process of assisting the animal shelter, they're helping out the community in dealing with lost or homeless animals, and it's a collaboration that's never been done before and in the country, and this is, you know, I think it's going to be a huge win, and it kind of delves into reveals the fact that the community, the state, an entire country is facing veterinarian shortages, and it's a pretty critical situation because veterinarians are they're very important in not just taking care of pets, but in a state like Montana that raises so many cattle and has horses and other livestock, the veterinarians, they're absolutely essential in supporting our ag community. And the shortage of veterinarians is dire, and it's going to probably get worse. So this story and this arrangement, I think, is a really good thing. The Yellowstone Valley Animal Shelter plans on having this facility open by 2028, and they've already been given a huge boost by the city of Billings, who's allowed them to use an undeveloped park down by the sugar beet factory called Wilson Park, which I had never heard of before. But that's where they're going to build a 23,000 square foot shelter, and they need to raise $12 million in order to do this. So they have a huge fundraising project in front of them.
I'll bet you they'll get the support, though. I know a lot of people just love the animal shelter, and, you know, I've got both my cat and dog from the animal shelter, and so they've always been great. But, yeah, their facilities are kind of crowded, and so I know they're planning a big expansion. And I'll bet you they'll get community support for that because they've got a lot of supporters out there to help them raise that money. And then, yeah, partnering with Rocky Vista University in their, you know, veterinarian program sounds like a win-win there.
Yes, it does. And I agree because going quite a few years back when the animal shelter, when the Yellowstone Valley Animal Organization was formed, that was one of the things they said is people would so readily donate in support of any organization that takes care of animals. And they thought that the city running the animal shelter at the time kind of interfered with that willingness. So the animal shelter only gets about a third of their income from contracts they have with Laurel and Billings and Yellowstone County to handle rescue animals, but and the rest of it, three-fourths of it comes from contributions. So it's a win-win proposition all the way around. The issue of the veterinarians in the state that and across the country, there reports are that there were like 116,000 practicing veterans in the United States in 2019. And almost two-thirds of them were dealing with companion animal practice. And they expect that demand to increase dramatically through 2030 to where there's a need for 41,000 more veterinarians.
Wow, yeah, that's a big number, big demand there, that's for sure. And it's kind of like the demand for everything else. It's all on the rise, and yet we're failing to meet that demand. All right, another very important story here. 260 jobs threatened at the Signal Peak coal mine. A pack of wolves completely devour an elk carcass on a high school football field in Montana. Is it just me, or is this story so symbolic of what is happening to our country right now? They're doing it right in front of you. They're doing it in your face. They're laughing at you as illegal aliens and more destroy this country. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That was my take on Friday. We'll get your take every day of the week. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Last week, the Bureau of Land Management released final text of its conservation landscape health rule that reimagines the agency's requirements to manage lands for multiple uses, including livestock grazing across the West. I spoke with Caitlin Glover, Executive Director of the National Public Lands Council, on the issue in Washington, D.C. this weekend.
The short version here, Lane, is that we saw the final rule. All of our concerns, although the text looks a little bit different now, all of our concerns are really moving forward in this final rule. And so as we dive deeper into this lengthy text, we're going to be taking a hard look at some of the most concerning pieces.
Now, last week, just the draft text of the BLM Public Lands Rule, as it's now called, was released. It's expected to be put into the Federal Register later today. From there, the Public Lands Council may seek legal action against it. As they say, it runs counter to the agency's multiple use mandate under the Federal Land Policy and Management Act, or FLPMA. I actually saw BLM Director Tracy Stone Manning in the airport out in Washington, D.C. as I was traveling home this weekend. I was not able to secure a comment from her on the BLM's new rule. That, again, is being published today, Earth Day, in the Federal Register. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is a very important headline I want to talk about here. 260 jobs threatened. We got to get this on people's radar right now. Really glad that Evelyn Pyburn is reporting on this in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Yeah, Evelyn, looking at your report here, Signal Peak coal mine near Roundup is in jeopardy, according to the president and CEO of Signal Peak. And so are the jobs of 260 workers, two-thirds of which live in Yellowstone County, Montana. And so is the $211 million in taxes the company has paid over the past 3 years to both Yellowstone and Musselshell counties. And Evelyn, looks like this all goes back. It's tied to a decision by the liberal U.S. District Judge Don Malloy out of Missoula. But there's a federal angle to this as well, right?
Yes. Well, the judge said that he's sending Signal Peaks back to, you know, the whole permitting process and requiring another study, you know, environmental impact study. And while he suggested, I guess, that it would take a couple years for them to do this, the time is passing. You know, the judge's decree came in February of 2023, and the agency who should be doing this has not done anything. And as the time is running out, Signal Peak has launched a lawsuit against the agency because if this isn't resolved in the judge's time frame, then they'll have to shut down. And the officials were saying that they're not going to be able to shut down and then just resume because they have contracts and depend upon transportation, you know, rail transportation and ports and all of that, which if they lose, there's a lot of competition for those things. They would have a very tough time getting back. And so this is really a decree that shuts the mine down if this agency doesn't respond. And I would suggest if you look at the workers, 260 workers in Musselshell County. Well, Musselshell County, you know, where do you think they do a huge percentage of their shopping? Here in Billings. So those 260 workers, all of them, not just two-thirds, are, you know, part of our economic community. And those workers are paid an average of $135,000 a year, and the mine's total yearly cost in wages and taxes and benefits is $45 million. So besides the taxes that we look at losing, there's this $45 million economic infusion into our community that would be just devastating. And there's other taxes that the mine pays. They pay huge sums in federal and state taxes. Over the past 3 years, they've paid $47 million directly to the public education system in Montana because part of the resource that they're mining belongs to the state lands that are meant to support public education.
That's right. That's so, another good reminder. That's why Wyoming and South Dakota, for example, have typically been able to invest more in K through 12 public schools is because they've done better at developing their natural resources. And now we've got a liberal judge who was put on the bench by Democrat Senator Max Baucus at the time, continuing to do the dirty work for Democrats like John Tester. They use these liberal federal judges to shut down projects just like this. You know, Tester is anti-coal, but he'll talk out of both sides of his mouth. This story to me is all the more reason why we need Donald Trump back in the White House in 2025, and we need John Tester out of the Senate in 2025, because John Tester will sit back and watch as the Signal Peak coal mine gets killed under another 4 years of the Biden administration. Republicans will fight for those jobs, for those workers, and for these local communities. So this is a very important story to point out. Let's see. Evelyn Pyburn, it was great seeing you Friday night at the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner as well. I know you got a chance to hear all eight of the Republican congressional candidates for the Eastern Congressional District. 30 seconds before our Fox News update, and then I can get more of your thoughts after that if you can stick around. But what was your big takeaway?
You know, I was really glad for the opportunity to listen to Mr. Sheehy talk about his reasons for running for office and some of the issues that, you know, have been going floating around about him and questions and stuff. And he was a very compelling speaker and very convincing. And I was glad to have had the opportunity to listen to him in person.
Yeah, I thought it was a powerful Q&A between Tim Sheehy and our friend David Noble, who fills in for us on the show here. All right, hold that thought. We'll start there here in another 60 seconds.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump is back in court for opening statements at his criminal trial in New York City. Fox's Eric Schoen.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg has brought these charges. He says the former president tried to interfere in the 2016 presidential race by paying off Stormy Daniels to hide their alleged affair and part of a plan that paid off Playboy playmate Kara McDougal to hide their alleged affair, too. Also, American voters would not find out about the sex scandals.
Trump attorneys argue these were legitimate legal expenses. The Supreme Court hears arguments this morning in a case about homelessness.
The case involves laws that officials in Grants Pass, Oregon enacted, allowing them to punish homeless people for sleeping in public places. City officials, including in San Francisco, submitting their own briefs, asking the court to clarify how officials can respond to encampments.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. Stocks are higher to start the day and the week on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Yeah, very interested to hear Evelyn Pyburn's take on this because, you know, I've known Tim Sheehy, the Navy SEAL veteran running for U.S. Senate here in Montana. I've known him for a number of years, so I've been impressed with him for a number of years here. But he's a political newcomer, so he's new to a lot of folks, which is a good thing. People don't like career politicians. They want new folks to get up there and run for these positions. But anyway, David Noble, who joins us every Thursday on the show and fills in for me on the show, does a great job. Yeah, he actually did the fireside chat with Tim Sheehy on Friday night. He says Montana's next U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy silenced the entire room when he began speaking and then brought everyone to their feet in a standing ovation after one of the most genuine statements I've ever heard from a candidate. I stand with Tim 100%. Yeah, Evelyn, that, you know, it was getting very late into the evening Friday night because there was a lengthy House candidate panel discussion. And in fact, I was talking with Paul Mushabe, and he's like, man, they should have had Tim Sheehy speak first. But regardless, it was getting late into the night. The crowd was dispersed. Everybody was chatting in the back. And, you know, and then Tim Sheehy started talking, and he very quickly just captured their attention and then drew them to their feet. It was quite a sight to see.
Yeah, he came across as very sincere and very real. And, I think the thing that stayed with me, and it was when he said that the reason he is running is a vendetta because of the way the Afghan battle, the Biden fiasco there, the way that was handled and the indignation that he felt at what was imposed upon young men who were little more than kids and the death toll and how he sat there for the first time thinking, you know, he was ashamed to wear the American flag on his uniform and how in that moment it became a vendetta to do something about the way things are. And, you know, he was just, he was very powerful and just not the very polished politician kind of talk, you know?
Yeah.
And,
exactly. Yeah, he's the real deal. He might even say a word. You might think you're sitting in a team room with him and his fellow SEALs when he's talking sometimes. Because, yeah, he's not a polished career politician who's just putting out, you know, poll-tested buzzwords and giving the same speech that everybody else is giving, right? Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal. And he talks about how pissed off he is at this debacle and this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And what a betrayal it was to him, to his fellow service members, to all of us in this country. Evelyn Pyburn, great to get your thoughts. Thanks so much for your time once again. Every Monday, back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Yeah, if you're not signed up for the hot sheet, you can get it in your email inbox every Monday morning. There's always some good information, like that Signal Peak coal mine story that we're not really seeing anywhere else. Evelyn, thanks again. Phone lines are open for you. Back after this.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, lots to talk about this morning here on this show, but what do you want to talk about? 406-294-0970. Let's go back to this Supreme Court case. No, this is a big case before the United States Supreme Court this week. And it's very important for those of you that are taxpayers and citizens in Bozeman and in Missoula in particular. But really, it's important to all of us. But the reason why I say it's particularly important for those of you in Bozeman and Missoula is because the liberal city governments in Bozeman and Missoula, they use this case as an excuse. We know they fully support this transient invasion. I mean, even this new ordinance to try to crack down on urban camping, as they call it. It's not camping. This is an invasion of transients. And the same party that supports this invasion of illegal aliens is the same political party that supports this invasion of transients as well. And oh, by the way, so the Bozeman Daily Chronicle does a big story about, you know, and it's and you can see it's got this pro-transient spin on it, of course, because it is the Bozeman Daily Comical after all. Why do they do this big story about homelessness and transients in Bozeman, but they didn't even mention one of the biggest stories of late, which was when a transient raped a teenage girl at a homeless encampment. Remember when former Bobcat great Dane Fletcher spoke out about that and a number of other problems with these transients? Why didn't that make this story so that people know the real problems of this transient invasion? Kalispell, remember they had a local gym manager confronted a transient camping out in their parking lot, and he got shot and killed. He got murdered by this transient. But you always get this pro, just like you get the pro-illegal alien spin from the press, you get the pro-transient invasion spin from the press. They'll go bash the Flathead County commissioners for criticizing this invasion of transients, but then they don't want to include in the story when a gym manager got murdered by a transient. Same thing, Bozeman Daily Chronicle. Well, let's do a big story about homelessness, but not mention the transient that raped a girl or all of the other problems. I got some messages here on our Montana Talks app. KC in Bozeman says this. They do not enforce the urban campers. They are all just a bunch of bums and don't work. That's what KC in Bozeman says. I'm sure there's exceptions to that. I'm sure there's some folks that are working and probably just trying to make ends meet. But by and large, I do think that this transient invasion is they're recruiting people that just want to sit around and leech off the system. That's what's happened in Missoula. That's what the liberal government in Bozeman is encouraging now as well. Owen in Bozeman says this. I wonder where all the sewage and waste from the urban campers discharges to. Don't ask that question, right, Owen? Don't ask that question. Anyway, what is this case before the United States Supreme Court this week? So Attorney General Austin Knutson, Montana's Attorney General, the best Attorney General in the country, another reminder, he has been weighing in on this case, I believe it's out of Oregon, because he knows how important it is to be able to push back against this transient invasion of Montana cities. We've got to take away this excuse. So Bozeman and Missoula will say, we'd love to crack down on urban campers, but we can't. We can't do it. Our hands are tied. Here's the case they use to claim that their hands are tied. The Supreme Court set to hear a case that will have major implications for homeless policies nationwide.
The Supreme Court is expected to hear oral arguments in a case that could determine if it's unconstitutional for governments to enforce a public camping ban when there's nowhere else for unhoused folks to sleep. The case involves laws that officials in Grants Pass, Oregon enacted, allowing them to punish homeless people for sleeping in public places, even when no shelters are available. The federal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling the anti-camping ordinance violates the Eighth Amendment regarding cruel and unusual punishment. The city asking the high court to take up the case. City officials, including in San Francisco, submitting their own briefs, asking the court to clarify how officials can respond to encampments. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
So it's very good that the United States Supreme Court is taking up this case to take away this excuse of liberal leftist city governments like Bozeman and Missoula. What will they do? So what's happening? And I told you a little bit about what's been happening in Bozeman, and you can call in and fill us in with more if you want to add to this. 406-294-0970. You know, you had a transient rape a young girl at a homeless encampment in Bozeman. You had a local gym owner, the Bobcat great Dane Fletcher, talk about how, you know, kids, it wasn't even safe enough for kids to walk home or to walk to these businesses after school for after school programs because of the transients and the crime and the safety concerns on that front. So that's a little bit of what's happening in Bozeman. Because of these lawless leftists and their illegal alien invasion and their transient invasions that they encourage on both fronts. And in Missoula, you've heard me talk about what's going on in Missoula. I mean, you've got city parks that the taxpayers pay dearly for with some of the worst property taxes in the state because they pass every levy they can think of. And then you can't even take your kids to the park because there's transients defecating in the water fountain. And then there's drug needles on the banks of the Clark Fork River. We love the environment. Yeah, sure you do. Sure you do. But what's their excuse? Their one excuse is, well, we can't really do anything about it because, see, we got this Grants Pass court case. And, well, the Ninth Circuit. Remember, they always use their liberal judges to do the dirty work for them. They use liberal judges to push their transgender birth certificates. They use their liberal judges here in Montana and their liberal Supreme Court justices to overturn practically everything that the people got accomplished in the legislative session. They always use the judges to do. They support this invasion of transients. They support the invasion of illegal aliens. But to virtue signal to you, to pretend that they care and that they're actually trying to do something about it, they'll use an excuse. Well, the Ninth Circuit. Oh, your buddies on the Ninth Circuit. Yeah. 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 Liberal judges, they got put there by Joe Biden, by Bill Clinton, by Barack Obama, by Max Baucus, by John Tester. So if the Supreme Court bring some common sense to this Grants Pass case, then it'll take away the excuse of Missoula and Bozeman. Because they'll say, well, we can't do anything about it. Which is absurd, because you can drive down a street in Bozeman, Montana, and you'll see urban campers, you'll see transient encampments on one side of the street, but then you won't see them on the other side of the street. Why do you see it on one side of the street, not the other? Because the other side of the street has no parking signs. Well, for some reason, they can enforce no parking on this side of the street, but they won't enforce no parking on the other side of the street. And now, with their watered-down, transient ordinance, where they're pretending to do something about the problem, they make you pay. They make you pay to tow a transient encampment from one side of town to the other. They're not even going in and saying, okay, you've been here for 30 days hanging out. Time for you to move. Time for you to leave. And then they just got to figure out how to move or leave. Some of these transient encampments, even if they're on wheels, they don't have the ability to move. So they're sitting there and they're saying, you have to pay to tow me. I haven't used my two free tow deals that the taxpayers are supposed to pay for. What a slap in the, what a mockery. And this is a mockery all across America. Criminals being put back right back out on the streets while they force Donald J. Trump to sit in a courtroom once again in the middle of a presidential election. you know, you've got transients invading these communities, and then when you finally force them to move off the streets and make the streets safe for your kids to walk to elementary school, they force you to pay for the tow job. Not just one, but two. Not just one, but two. Anyway, but hey, we get what we vote for, right? You vote for John Tester, you get pro-open borders judges. You get pro-transient invasion judges. You vote for liberals on the Bozeman City Commission or the Missoula City Council or Gallatin County Commissioners. This is what you get. You get what you vote for. So as you look in the mirror and you look at your bougie little get-up for the day, and then you go drive the streets and say, what in the world just happened? Well, look back at that bougie little get-up you're wearing and think about who you're voting for. And when you look at the mess in your own streets and the fact that it's not even safe enough for your own kids to be able to walk back from school, again, go back to the mirror, look at that bougie outfit, and think about who you vote for.
This episode is brought to you by Xfinity Mobile. Save money the easy way. Learn how new Xfinity Mobile customers can buy one unlimited line and get one free for a year now through June 21st. That's like $20 a month per unlimited line. Visit XfinityMobile.com today to learn more. Offer ends June 21st. Restrictions apply. Existing Xfinity internet service and two unlimited lines required. Reduce speeds after 30 gigabytes of usage per line. Data thresholds vary.
Fox News commentary.
Denver will partially defund its police department to prioritize care and resources for illegal immigrants. You get what you vote for, Denver. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
We've got two major problems in America, an illegal immigration influx and a crime crisis. The Democrat-controlled city of Denver has thumbed its nose at both of those with its new budget proposal. Get this. Denver will allocate $45 million in funding for programs dedicated to the illegal immigrant crisis, and this will come at the expense of the police budget. Yes, an $8 million budget cut to the police department budget to prioritize funding for people who have no right to be here. And the city of Denver only has about 1,000 migrants being cared for in its shelters. You can bet your bottom dollar more on the way, and these budget cuts to necessary programs will continue and worsen to pay for Biden's open border. Every city is a border city, and every state is a border state under Joe Biden. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Under growing media pressure and an excruciating six-month delay, the House over the weekend finally passed U.S. military aid to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan, and some other measures such as a ban on TikTok. Mike Johnson, the new speaker, deserves all the credit, and President Biden praised the House for the move. But the reason that he's not being praised, since he's risking his job, Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to dump him out of the speaker's chair, has two other Republicans who could get it done, although the timing is unclear, is that Johnson is fixing a problem that he created. He was responsible for not bringing this to the floor. And now that we see that 101 Republicans were willing to vote even for aid to Ukraine, less than half, but with votes from Democrats, they were able to get it done. Johnson now is hanging on for his political future. With
yours, the wait is over.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We had another great message that came in. Sorry, I'm a little late getting to this one. Tim and Savage. Tim messaged us earlier in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. These mentally deranged protesters at Yale and other campuses demonstrate just how confused they are about everything. Notice them wearing their Rona rags while outside. You know anything about those deadly variants that were supposed to kill us all by now? Yeah, have you noticed? I've noticed that too, Tim. It's when you see these deranged protesters on these college campuses, many of them are uppity, young, white liberals, right? And what do they do when the cameras show up? If they aren't already wearing their coronavirus-style face mask, so many of them wear those things. They're like, the only people that wear them are these young liberal activists. If they're at a pro-transgender kid mutilation protest, they got their face masks on. If they're yelling at Jewish students on college campuses, they have their face masks on. And if they didn't already have their coronavirus face mask, then they make one up with their little Palestinian headdress thing that they got going on. It's absolutely disgusting. I mentioned in the 6 o'clock hour how a Jewish student, oh, this was at Yale. I thought it was at Columbia. This was at Yale. A Yale University Jewish student was reportedly jabbed in the eye with a Palestinian flagpole Saturday night. I did see at Columbia there was this young white liberal girl, and she had a sign where she was standing in front of these pro-Israel students, likely Jewish students with Israeli flags, and she had a sign encouraging a specific terrorist group to make them their next targets. That's why, again, David Noble mentioned this one time when we had him on one Thursday, but he talked about how, I think it was David who mentioned this, how there is something demonic about the way these anti-Israel protesters operate, and the transgender activists too. I mean, when you will hold up a sign, when you just look at the knee-jerk anti-Semitism coming from these, in particularly these young leftists, I mean, it is nasty. They encourage genocide of Jews. They encourage these radical Islamic groups to deliberately target their fellow students because they're Jewish or because they're standing up for Israel. I mean, how else? There is no logic that describes how these people can think that on one hand, the very same radical Islamists that would throw their LGBTQ activist butt off of the roof of a building to fall to their death below, that somehow that's the same people that they are standing up for right now as they jab Jewish students in the eye, as they call for genocide against the Jews or anybody who supports Israel. Like there is no logic that justifies why they believe what they believe, why they say what they're saying, other than there's just pure evil. We are seeing pure evil on display on these college campuses, like Columbia University right now. Let's see. Ted Cruz was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. Maybe I'll play more. I see we're already running out of time. I'll get to this a little bit more in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, we're going to have our friend Rabbi Chaim Bruck from the synagogue in Bozeman is going to join us around 8:40 as well.
Senator, what can you do as an elected official to stop this anti-Semitism raging throughout the country? I mean, look what happened this week. Anti-Israel campus protests intensifying at Columbia University. 100 students detained, many arrested at Columbia University last week as the protesters sprung up at universities across the country. Why are we seeing this once again?
Well, look, we're seeing a vicious anti-Semitism, a vicious hatred of Israel in our universities and sadly among the Democrat Party. I'll tell you, Maria, one of the most troubling things about the Democrat Party, and these two are intertwined.
Anyway, hold that thought. We'll have more from Ted Cruz coming up in the 8 o'clock.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mail and cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.